of the saints and leadership at Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly. And I also greet you on behalf of Perumai Incorporated. Now, some of you may be hearing that name for the first time. It was formerly Blessing Basket International. But God has a way of changing names sometimes. I'm not suggesting that you change your name. But I want to thank you for your prayers, those of you who pray for us constantly, and especially since 2 weeks ago when I had a major accident. I think the car is total, but God spared my life once again. Thanks for the prayers. We appreciate the prayers of the saints always. Continue to pray for our global missions ministry. We expect to go to Tobago in August and Malaysia in September. Pray also for a week of crusade with Emmaus Bible Chapel in the Bronx, where our son Timothy is serving as well with them there. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to a very brief portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And today I'd like to speak on the topic, fear not. So we have a very short topic and a very short text. It doesn't mean that the sermon will be short. Let us pray. Father, we pray that now you will bless your words unto our hearts and glorify your name. We need a word from you, our God. For if we don't hear from you, what will we do? So I pray that you will touch my lips afresh. Anoint our ears as we hear. And cause that indeed we will not leave as we came, but we will be transformed by your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. A man said to the pastor, "Pastor, I am scared to death every night. There is something under my bed." The pastor said, "You need faith. Come to church, pray, and trust God, and give it a few weeks." A few weeks later, the pastor saw him and asked, "How is your fear doing?" The man said, "Oh, I'm not scared anymore." Pastor said, "Tell me about it. What changed?" The man said, "I cut the legs off the bed." Sometimes we have to eliminate the space that encourages fear in our lives. You see, in this world, we have no shortage of reasons to fear. We are told that globally, 4 to 4.5% of the world's population has an anxiety disorder. In the US, it is even higher. 19.1% of adults, that is one in five, roughly. So for every five person in this room, it is likely that one is anxious about something. It is said that 31% of people, that's one in three, will experience anxiety at some point in their lives. No shortage of reasons to fear. Fear is evident around us. Some fear failure. Some of the fear of rejection. Some fear the unknown and some fear the known. Some have a fear of loss. Some fear for the future. And some fear for being alone. Some are fearful of public speaking. Some are fearful of meeting new people. Some are fearful of authority figures. And there are some kinds of fear which have earned its own name. Arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Acrophobia, fear of heights. Claustrophobia, fear of confined spaces. Nysophobia, fear of the dark. Thalassophobia, fear of deep waters. And we can go on and on. But one I learned about while I was preparing this message is nomophobia, fear of being without your phone. People fear everything, from spiders to speaking, from heights to heartbreaks. But God speaks into all of it with one command: fear not. I want to say to somebody today, regardless of what you are facing, fear not. I believe that is a word that God would have us hear today. Fear not, for I am with you. I want to share with us from this text five faith anchors in the face of fear. You see, fear is real, but God's promises are also real. And God doesn't just say, fear not. He gives us five unshakable reasons why we must not fear. And the first one, he says, fear not, for I am with thee. When we remember that God is with us, it relieves our fear. When we were going to school, and if someone tries to bully us, we just say, I'm going to call my big brother, whether we have big brothers or not. But people know, when you have company, when you have backative, it makes a difference. So God is saying, you must not fear because I am with you. God is a God who is with us, a God who is there. He is Jehovah Shammah. He was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with the Israelites as they journeyed in the wilderness, in the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. He was there in the temple. He was there in the Ark of the Covenant. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And when he left and went back to heaven, he says, do not worry, because I am going to send the Comforter, and he will abide with you. And so the Holy Spirit is here with us. We are not alone. He says, and lo, I am with you always. And we look forward to that time when we shall hear, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." When we shall see Jesus as he is, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him face to face. God is saying to us today, "Fear not, because I am with you." The story is told of the little boy who was in his room. He was so scared because it was dark. But he cried out to his father, "Daddy!" The father said, "What, son?" He said, "I am afraid." And the father went into the room. He didn't turn on the light. He just sat there. And the baby, the boy, fell asleep. Not because the darkness disappeared, but because Father was present. God doesn't always remove the darkness. He doesn't always eliminate the storm, but he steps into it with you. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they say, if you can't remember those names, you can just say your shop, my shop, and a bungalow. But when those three Hebrew boys were in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter, Jesus steps in. And sometimes we experience the presence of God in more powerful ways when we are in the fire. For he is a God who comes. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills the heart with glory. When Jesus comes to stay. He is a God who comes, he said to Moses, "I have seen the afflictions of my people, I have heard their cries, and I am come down to deliver them." Fear not, my brother, fear not, my sister, because we have the presence of God. But another reason to quell our fear is that we are his possession. He says, "I am thy God. I am your God." We belong to him. You belong to him. This is covenant language. We are in a dynamic relationship with the Almighty God. Somebody says, "I belong to Jesus, and he belongs to me, not just for time, but for all eternity." We are the apple of his eyes. We belong to him. And sometimes when we miss the mark and we fail, we sometimes doubt how God will relate to us. But once you are a child, you cannot be unchild. You can no longer be not a child. It doesn't matter how far your children go from you. It doesn't matter what they do, they remain your children. For once you are born in the family, you're a part of the family. I am so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, joined here with Jesus. Hallelujah. A part of the family of God. I am his possession. He owns me. He claims us. He covers us. and he commits to being with us. Be not afraid, fear not, because of the presence of God, because of the fact that you are his possession. And when he owns you, fear can't overrule you. The Bible encourages us not to fear, because he says, I will strengthen you. You see, one of the things that I have discovered is that as human beings, we have many weaknesses. Have you discovered that? We have limitations. There are times when our strength will fail. But God has a way of supplying supernatural strength for natural weaknesses. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in times of trouble. God supplies strength when we need it. And the song says, let the weak say, I am strong, because of what the Lord has done. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We do not fear because of his presence, because of his, we are his possession, and because of his power, he will strengthen us. He is able to do more than we can ask or think. He is a God who strengthens. When we run out of resources, when we run out of our strength, God steps in. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. Fear not. Then the fourth one, we do not need to fear because of his provision. He says, I will help you. Many years ago, I heard a song in Jamaica which says, run to my brother, forgive me some help. I will translate it. See him and run come for some for himself. In other words, I ran to my brother to get some help, but he was running to me to get help for himself. Sometimes we look to those around us for help, and we are disappointed when they cannot help. But the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He participates in our struggles. He provides exactly what we need when we need it. He is a present help in times of trouble. And when we know that God gives help, when we know that help is on the way, it makes a difference. During a study at Harvard in the 50s, Dr. Kurt Richer placed rats in a pool of water to test how long they could tread water. On average, they gave up and sink after 15 minutes. But right before they gave up due to exhaustion, the researchers would pluck them out, dry them off, let them rest for a few minutes, and put them back for a second round. In this second round, how long do you think they lasted? 15 minutes? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? No. 60 hours. That's not an error. That's what the research said. That's right, 60 hours of swimming. And you may ask, what does a research on rat has to do with a sermon? Well, it ratifies the power of hope. When we know that help is on the way, we tend to hold out a little more. If you know that tomorrow help is going to come, you endure the hardships. My brothers and sisters, God is our help in ages past, and He is our hope for years to come. We will hold on a little longer. We will hang on in there. Don't give up, my brothers and sisters, because help is on the way. We look forward to that time when the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall remain and be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Never feeling it's not too long from now. You see, when Isaiah wrote his or prophesied, he did so before the exile. But his message had two distinct parts. From chapter 1 to 39, it speaks about the judgment of God. And chapter 40 to the end of the book, 66, he gave hope, encouragement. He speaks of restoration. So while they were in captivity, and while they were experiencing the ravages of being in a strange land, they could read that portion that speaks of hope. God is not through with you yet. God is able to restore you. Though you have sinned, though you have fallen away, though you have walked away from the Lord, he said to the people, there is hope, because he is going to restore and bring you back to your land. They spent 70 years in captivity, but there came a time when God raised up Cyrus to issue a decree, you can go back to your land and worship. And they went back and they rebuilt. God is able to restore even the years, the Bible says, that the locusts have eaten. He is a God who is all powerful, a God who will provide for us. He will help us. He will send help. Sometimes we cannot help ourselves, but God continues to be our helper. He promises that He will send help from Zion. What kind of help do you need today? You know, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So if you have a need, the help that God will give you is supplied by His grace. And somebody says, He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. His grace is sufficient for you. You may need physical help. We heard the reminder today that the great physician is here. The sympathizing Jesus. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Whatever kind of help you need, He is able to help. And then He specializes in those kinds of help that seem impossible. Somebody says, He specializes in things which seem impossible. For he can do what no other one can do. The same song asks the question, do you have rivers that seem uncrossable? Do you have mountains it seems you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in those things which seem impossible. That's why he is God. That's why we say he is a miracle. He is a wonder. He is a miracle working God. So when we need some kind of help that the doctors cannot supply. You know, as good as doctors are sometimes, They will fall short like other human beings. The story is told of this woman who went to the doctor, and she had a pain in her right knee, a severe pain. And the doctor checked, the doctor ran some tests, and the doctor couldn't come up with anything conclusive. And she was anxious to hear what the doctor had to say. And she said, doctor, tell me please, what is the problem with my right knee? And the doctor said, you know, I want to tell you, it is just old age. And she said, no, doctor, that cannot be right, because the left knee is the same age. There are times when we have problems that cannot be fixed by ordinary means, but we serve an extraordinary God, a supernatural God, a God who is not limited to time nor space, a God who is not limited to those limitations that human beings face. He is a God of might and miracle. Fear not. That God promises help. He says, I will send help from the sanctuary. And sometimes we are anxious that he is not coming on time. But sometimes God delays his action to get more glory. You see, because he gets more glory to raise Lazarus from the dead than to heal his sickness. And sometimes we tend to think that God is not with us because he is not helping us the way we want to be helped. But God may be setting you up for a greater miracle. That people will know this is the hand of God. For God wants to be glorified. God wants to demonstrate to people around us that he still remembers his own and that he is still on his throne. He is a God who will help us when we cannot help ourselves. Do not fear. Remember his presence. Remember you are his possession. Remember his power. Remember his provision. And finally, his preservation. He says, I will uphold you. You may be saying today, I can't hold up. Or I can't hold out. Or I can't hold myself together. That is when God says, I will uphold you. He will carry us when we cannot carry ourselves. He lifts our burdens when we cannot carry those burdens. And so I will say to you, take your burdens. Take them to the cross. And leave them there. He is a God who will preserve us. For he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. He will be there with us in our going out and our coming in. He is the God who keeps. He will keep us. He will sustain us. We thank God that he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the Father, to the glory and the honor of his name. He will keep you. He will preserve you. He will hold you up. God sustains you when you feel like sinking. You see, when you said, when we hear the expression, the right hand of God. You see, God is not a person with hands and feet, but it is just a part of speech to help us to understand what God is like. So when we hear about the right hand of God, we know it speaks of the power and the authority of God. And when God holds you with his right hand, you will not fall. You are not holding yourself together. God is holding you. You see, if it were left to us to hold God's hands, we might have slipped long ago. But God is holding us. He's holding us up when we cannot hold ourselves. No wonder the Bible tells us no one shall pluck us out of his hands. We are still in God's unchanging hands that hold us through thick and thin. He will never let us go. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. We can rest because it is God who is holding us. We see his presence, his possession, his power, his provision, and his preservation. Therefore, fear not. Fear loses its grip when faith grips God's promises. Take a grip, my brother. Take a grip, my sister. Take a grip on faith. Faith knocked at the door. Fear knocked at the door. And faith answered, only to realize no one is there. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, one of power, and of a sound mind. Do not fear, because God is here. We have reasons to fear, but we have more reasons not to fear. You see, if we give ourselves to fear, our blood pressure will go up faster than the price of gas. But when we hold on to God, we can be still and know that he is God. thing in the world, whether there is peace or war, whether there is price increase or not, he is still God. And he is not just God. He is my God. He is our God. And we have access to him 24/7. For he will never leave us nor forsake us. Fear not. Fear not. You can stare the fear in its face and say, I trust in God. Because 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to rest upon his word. Just to dwell upon those promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. May this word today quiet our fears, calm our fears, cast out our fears. You know, sometimes fear is used by the enemy to cripple the work of God. Because when we fear, it saps our creative energy. It stalls the work of God. And the devil uses fear to immobilize us. You know, sometimes when a person is frightened, they cannot move. But when faith takes over, we say, give me this mountain. Because our God is still able. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder if there is someone here today. God is speaking to your heart and you just want to take another grip in faith. You say, please pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. Remember me in a closing word of prayer. If there is someone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you want to do so as the Spirit of God is speaking to you, you find that there is no stability and no peace anywhere else but in God, and you want him to come into your heart, I'm going to say a prayer. You can say this prayer after me. And our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You can say, dear Lord, please forgive me of all my doubts and worries. Please forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person as I receive from you this day the gift of eternal life. If you pray that prayer and you are serious about following the Lord, or if you have a need for prayer for some other matters, I'm just going to invite you just to raise your hand and take it down again. As I remember you in a closing word of prayer with no one looking around. This is between you and God. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we lift up every person who is crying out for help today. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will send help from Zion. For our help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He is our help in ages past, and he is our hope for years to come. We pray that you will lavish your grace upon your people today, that will supply help in times of need. Lord, we lift up to you today Brother Grant and Brother Neveson. We pray for healing, O God. We pray for strength, we pray for help. And others who may be here, struggling physically. Others may have other needs, mighty God. Relationship needs, financial needs, emotional needs. Lord, we pray that you will make your help felt as people cry out to you for help. And we ask that in everything, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. I think I'll hand back over to the chairman to just finally dismiss us.
I want to thank our brother for the message.